And we're live.
Okay. You guys ready?
We're live.
She's going to pray?
I'm going to pray.
Okay, let my wife pray first.
Our Father, in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you for this day, dear Jesus. We thank you for the blessing. We thank you for the ministry that already went forth, dear Lord. We thank you for the Holy Spirit residing in this place, dear Jesus. I thank you, dear Lord, that you've spoken to Pastor Sandy, dear Lord, that he depleted himself, dear Lord, and he stands as a vessel of your Holy Spirit to speak your truth, dear Lord, as you laid on him this week, dear Lord. Help us to receive it, dear Lord, with spiritual ears and an open heart, dear Lord, to do your will, dear Jesus. And those that are listening abroad, dear Lord, we thank you, dear Lord. We thank you for them, dear Jesus. We ask that you open their hearts and minds to receive the word and the message that's to go forth to this day, dear Lord, that they receive it with understanding, dear Lord, that you continue to minister to them, dear Lord. Help them with their families, dear Jesus. Bless them on this day, dear Lord. With loving arms, we outreach and hug each and every one of them through your word. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. All right, you guys. Elohim Tov. Kol Hazman. Baruch Shemcha Adonai. Ki Ata Gadol Adonai. That's because you are great. You are good. Ki Ata Tov. Ki Ata Gadol. I am going to do something. I got to set my... How you guys doing today?
Blessed.
I'm very blessed too. Thank you. I know you guys blessed. Y'all just quiet. I want to thank you guys for being my church family.
Yeah.
I didn't grow up. I never had a good church family growing up. I had to become a pastor because I have a good church family. We almost had one. Pastor Ben came and joined the church with us. Ooh. We almost had one, but then I got kicked out, and then he got kicked out. Yeah. And we realized, okay, if we're going to have a good church family, we got to do it ourselves. Because people kicking us out and stuff, that ain't good. So, but thank you guys. Each and every one of you, I really appreciate you. I appreciate the men of this church, too, you know. Randy and Brian and Nathan, Greg, everybody is just, awesome men of God, you know. Raymond, praise God. God brought him back from Vegas, Sin City. Lord, send him back to California. Praise God. He was there living. He wasn't gambling, though. Praise God.
Amen.
Were you? No, I'm just playing.
Amen.
All right, so I'm blessed. Praise God. I'm glad you did that. You guys, I am I'm a suit snob. Someone asked me for a tie. If they could borrow a tie when they came over my house one day, and I opened my drawer, and they went, all of those yours? I said, that's all of them in this drawer. So, I got a problem. Daria will tell you, I got a problem with ties. Okay, so you pray for my deliverance. But this is one of them. Praise God.
Amen.
I want to start off with two things before I get started, because I think that today is an awesome message. It's clear cut. It's the Lord speaking to me. It's conclusion stuff. You know what I mean? Like, this is it. Okay. But I wanted to read this card from Yini, because she sent me this beautiful card. And she sends me a card every month. She is like on time. I just want to thank her because she's so diligent and she always sends me beautiful words. She is in Bowie, Maryland. I think MD stands for Maryland, right?
I think so.
Okay. And it says, hello, Pastor Sandy. Thank you for teaching on the Word of God to help us understand the times we live in. It is truly... time to go soon. It says, I don't need it for this. It says, I pray to God in the name of Jesus that you'll continue to lead the bride of Christ all the way to the day we leave or to the date. So, and your sister in Christ, Yini.
Amen.
She has a full name, but I don't think I can pronounce it, so we call her Yini. They're in the front pocket. The front pocket of that. No, the other front pocket. Wait a minute.
Oh, some people call that back pocket.
Oh, maybe I don't have, no, there's no glasses. I don't have any glasses. Give me some glasses, Pastor Dan.
Stop it.
Ow. They work. Where'd you get these, Pastor Ben?
I don't know.
These are good.
Okay, keep them on.
Pastor Ben went down a couple of notches. No, he went down. His eyes are getting better. I prayed for him.
Huh? It's not a good sign.
It's not a good sign?
No.
No, it's a good sign.
Oh,
I'm telling
wait
you.
A minute.
Either my eyesight's getting to be like yours or yours is getting better. But my word is I pray that you're getting better.
Let's go with that.
Because I used to couldn't wear your glasses at all.
This is true.
They would make me dizzy for hours after. It's true. All right. All right. So the other thing I want to do is I want to say to all the members that are in our YouTube that it is my pleasure to talk with you guys on the phone. I think some of you guys think like, you know, I don't know, that I'm some pastor and I'm so busy that I don't have time to talk to people. But I do have time to talk. So if you need to talk to me, let me know, Pastor Sandy, I need to talk to you. And if it's a two-way conversation, I am glad to do it.
Amen.
Well,
if I get on the phone and only you talk, and I get to say
hello,
amen, amen and goodbye, then that's not a conversation. But if you need to talk. Well, anyway, I say that because Deborah Ann from Toronto called me, and we had talked a while ago. And I always loved the pictures that she had posted of her two little girls. I spoke with her husband like right before. I don't even know his name, but he was very gracious in letting me talk with her. And so we talked about a lot of things that are going on in the church. And we talked about her two daughters.
These are your backup glasses that I kept for you.
Praise God.
Yeah, I keep them in there because I know one day you're going to...
You're right. These are my backup glasses. Thank you, Pastor Ben.
I keep them just in case.
All right. Because, and that's Pastor Ben. I told you he's the best friend I ever had.
Amen.
Next to you, Drea, and then Jesus. Well, you're the third. I don't need no trouble.
You might want to click.
I said that because I hate the couch. All right. So, all right. So, amen. So, all right. So, let's get serious here. So, anyway, I was talking to Deborah Ann. She lives in Toronto, and she has her two daughters, Celine and I'm going to say Lila, which is the way you pronounce it in Hebrew. But both of her daughters we're praying for their healing. I'm not going to even confess anything what is going on. But I know that sometimes you allow your children to take shots when they're kids, and sometimes those shots make more damage than helping them. And so, but we want to pray for her two beautiful daughters that that God is going to completely heal them.
Yes.
And I'm going to ask Pastor Dan, you're on the other side of the mic, but I'm going to ask that you pray right now for these two young girls that God would do a miraculous healing in their lives. Praise God. Yes.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we bless you and we thank you for who you are and for what you've already done, how your blood that was shed for our healing and our deliverance. Father, you know these two daughters that you've created, for you said it is you who have created us and not we ourselves.
Yeah.
We understand what the enemy is trying to do, but we also understand who you are. And Father God, we are asking for their complete healing and their complete deliverance in the name of Jesus. That the enemy has no foothold on their future. Only God will control their future. And whatever lie the enemy has tried to implant into their system, that we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And that your healing will take place. We believe in who you said you are. We believe that you will heal them completely, that you will deliver them from in their atmosphere, and that you have blessed that family and that home. You know those families. You know those children. You know that they are yours.
Yeah.
And we resist anything that the enemy tried to do to us, and we do not accept anything the enemy tries to put in our atmosphere. We pray healing and deliverance, and we give you praise in advance because you heard us before we called and you answered while we were yet speaking. In
Hallelujah.
Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, praise God. Through the vaccine, they lost their speech. So I want to make sure that you guys know when you let kids take these vaccines, yeah. You don't know what. But we're praying, and yeah. I'm praying with Deborah and her husband yes. that both their daughters will give full speech out before the rapture.
Yes.
You understand? Amen. Before we leave, that yes. they'll be able to speak again. Praise
yes.
God. So,
email me the names of the ladies, and we'll add the little girls.
Yeah, I have the name, so I'll send you the names and everything. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. So here we are, and we are ready for this message today. I made a great discovery in something my wife had discovered, and she said, "This sounds like God never meant for us to eat meat in the beginning." And I looked at that and I said, well, let me read it in Hebrew to see if it says the same thing. And I was like, wow, in Hebrew, that's a very accurate translation. It sounds like God, when he first made us, didn't make us to eat meat. He made us to eat from the earth, plants and vegetables, right? And he also gave that to the animals, plants and vegetables. Wow. It wasn't until the time of Noah that he made a covenant with Noah after the flood that he said, okay, now you can eat meat. Yeah, but it was like, in the beginning, it wasn't how it was. So I'm thinking the original way was probably the best way.
Yeah, I'm thinking, yeah.
And the second way was something else, okay? So here, let's go. Let's begin with this Bible study today because I am, and when I read it, you'll go, oh my God, it was true. Okay. Where am I supposed to start with this? The name of, thank you.
Oh, Ryan.
The name of what? The message?
That's okay, Ryan.
Hey, thank you for saying that, because that's where I'm supposed to start. Where I'm supposed to start with is the title of this message. The title of this message is The End of the Second Righteous Generation. Mm-hmm. So there have been two generations that God called the generations of the righteous. There have been two of them in the existence of the whole 6,000 years of mankind.
Amen.
There was one generation of the righteous, and that was Noah's generation.
Yes.
And when Noah's generation was over, God told Noah in Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, come, get into the ark, because I have found you righteous
yes.
in this generation.
Yes.
Now, you will not find the word righteous in generation in the same verse of a scripture until you get to the book of Psalms. And then in Psalms 14, it will say the righteous generation, because at that time we were in the 14th year of the righteous generation, mm-hmm. the counting down of 120 years to judgment, and God is going to do it twice. Mm-hmm. And we have to understand you're a part of the second countdown. You're a part of the second righteous generation.
Yeah.
So be blessed, be thankful that you are one of the people that listened to Noah,
yes.
okay? Because this is what this is all about. Who will hear Noah? Who will hear his message? Mm-hmm. I've already given him instructions. I've already told him what's about to happen. And he is a man, he's gone out to do what? To preach righteousness.
Yes.
Noah preached righteousness for 120 years.
120.
And I'm sure his family was out there preaching with him, trying to get people into this understanding that the world is coming into judgment because of the things that are going on in the earth mm-hmm. and because of the hearts of men.
Yes.
And so for 120 years, they preached it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And when that 120 years end, he said, hey, go into the ark. I have found you righteous in this generation. And only you. Take you and your seven and go. Now, we'll get into all that as we move. Okay? So, I want us, first of all, to go to Genesis chapter 5, verse 28 through 32. As we look at this, and we're going to see something very incredible, I think. You guys have it on your marker, but I'm going to put, on your paper, but I'm going to put it on the board as well. You don't have to do it yet, Pastor Ben. I'm not going over there yet.
They all said the members
message. Oh, praise God. They have the message? Hallelujah. So if you have the message, I hope you're looking at it as well. Okay, here we are. Genesis chapter 5, verse 28. It said, Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. He called his name Noah, saying, the same shall comfort us concerning the work of toil and of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed. Okay? And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. Okay. All the days of Lamech were 777 years, okay? And he died. And Noah was 500 years old and begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, first of all, we have to see the prophecy in Lamech making this declaration that I'm naming this son Comfort or Rest, because he's going to comfort us and reverse the curse of what? Of the ground, because we have to work so hard to produce any vegetation now, not like it's, everything's under a curse. So he said Noah is going to reverse the curse. Now, if this is not a prophecy, because Noah is not the one that's going to reverse the curse. So that means Noah is just like the Hebrew classes that we give. Noah, we could have a movie called Noah the Movie, because we know that Noah is only playing the role of Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. Noah is being prophesied that he's going to reverse the curse. Okay.
Amen.
And then Noah, I'm going to write this up here. His dad lives 777 years. Then he gives birth to his son, Noah. Okay, then he gives birth to his son. Okay, what is 777? Spiritual perfection. That's the number of God. So God produces his son, who's going to bring the comfort, who's going to reverse the curse. Okay, God is already talking to you. This story is about Jesus. It's not about Noah. But I'm going to show you a future event that's going to happen, and I'm showing you through Noah's life. But remember what Jesus says. The volume of the scriptures is about who? Him. And if you read that scripture in Greek, it's the word volume means every minute detail of scripture is about Jesus. Okay? So that's what Jesus was saying. Now, so it says here, now Lamech's name is powerful, okay? So we can say the powerful God gave birth to his son, who is called, and Noah is called a man of righteousness. So he's the son of righteousness. He's the righteous one. And so God gives, this powerful God gives birth to his son, who's going to come later at another time and reverse the curse.
Mm.
Okay? So now let's continue to read as we go to Genesis chapter 6. And it says, and it came to pass that when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born to them, okay, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were fair, and they took wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, now, something, the sons of God are the fallen Nephilim, the angels. But God says something, because remember this, it's not just Nephilim that's the problem.
Right.
God did not destroy the earth in a flood only because of Nephilim. God destroyed because every thought of all the men was continually evil at all time. Plus, we got a Nephilim problem.
Plus.
Okay. That was why the flood is going to occur, okay? So remember that it wasn't just the Nephilim sinning. Men had evil hearts. Because you witnessed to somebody, and I'm telling you, you go witnessing for a whole day, and you'll find out, okay, they did a gay parade and had a Jesus there with a rainbow flag wrapped around him, and they did a whole big statue with Jesus so they can put a rainbow flag around him, and all the gay people are pushing the. So I'm like, so you got to understand, them ain't Nephilim.
Right.
Them are people who want to sin, and they're mocking God. You okay?
Yep.
So let's continue reading here. Then it says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. Okay? So God is saying, from this day forward that I'm speaking to you, Noah, 120 years is going to bring forth judgment. Amazing. Okay? Now, here we get into the process of the whole matter. Noah has to move by faith. When God told Noah, it does not say, and a whole bunch of other people were standing around Noah and they heard the message. It was God and Noah. And Noah believed by faith and moved by faith to do what God told him, because God told him judgment was coming. Noah began to build the ark, it says in Hebrews, by faith, because he believed what God told him. Okay? When God told me, this is the message, this is what I want you to preach, and it's going to be hard, there was nobody in that room but me and God.
Amen.
I tried to explain it to Minister Wink one day, or D'Angelo. I'm like, I was standing like this, and then the voice of the Lord came, and it told me, this is what I want you to preach, and it's going to be hard. And so God told me to preach this end time message. Now I'm trying to explain this to Wink, but God was trying to tell me, I never called you to convince other people that what I told you. I called you to do what I told you.
Yeah.
You preach what I told you to preach. It was not Noah's job to convince them that God really spoke to him. He's like, I'm building the ark and I'm going to preach the gospel.
Right.
And I'm going to preach righteousness. And I'm sure his kids was out there and they're like, you know what? My dad heard from God. And he wants you all to know that judgment's coming on the world.
Right.
And that, you know, and when it comes, he's only going to save those who are living righteous. So he wants you to repent. And then what are we supposed to do after we repent, little Noah daughter? Well, after that, you know, my dad's building this ark, right? And he put a door on it, and you can go on the ark, and in the ark, you'll be saved.
Yes.
What are we going to be saved from, little Noah's daughter? Well, some water's going to come out of the sky, and it's going to lift the boat far above the earth. And all the people that's on the boat are going to be saved, but all the other people are going to die. Okay. Hold up, I got to make a phone call. And he's calling the house, right?
Right.
Come and talk, you know, pick somebody up, right? Because, listen, it had never rained before out of the sky. So they would have said to her, you know what? Water comes from the ground and waters the plants. Nothing's fallen out of the sky since God created Adam. So whatever you're talking about, little girl, you crazy.
Little Noah's daughter.
Because you got to understand, for 120 years, this righteous generation has been preaching, live right, God is coming, judgment is coming, for 120 years. But they can't believe it because nothing like that has ever happened before. And you're not going to be able to convince people that have never seen even a drop of water fall out of the sky that enough water is going to fall out of the sky to flood the whole earth.
Right.
But that's the message. Go forth and preach it and preach righteousness. And it's going to be hard. Right? And so now his job was to preach this message. Okay? Now let's continue to read here. Let's continue to read. Now let's go to chapter 7. Let me make sure I'm done there. Noah was a just man in his generation. And it says, okay, and it says, in chapter 7, it says, the Lord then said to Noah, at the end of this 120 years, right, of preaching righteousness, trying to get people to get on this ark, he said, the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you 7 of every clean animal, and then he gives them all of this instructions. And then it says in verse 6, Noah was 600 years old when the flood came on the earth, and Noah and his sons and his wives entered into the ark to escape the water of the flood. Now, we know, here, let me continue reading. It says, begin to read in verse 11. It says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 17th day, on the second month of that day, all the springs of the great burst forth, and the floodgates of heaven were open, and rain fell on the earth for 40 days and for 40 nights. And who went up? And the water from the flood ascended, made the boat ascend high above the earth. That's what the scripture says. Okay. You guys go to chapter 8. And so now the water is above the ground. It's high in the air because of the water. Now, what it doesn't tell you, because I don't think the Bible wants to get graphic, there's a whole lot of people suffering and dying while the boat's high above the earth. You understand? There are people going through judgment while the boat is high above the earth.
Yes.
Okay? And the Bible doesn't get into detail, but there's a whole lot of people underneath the boat that felt like they were good people.
Yep.
There's a whole lot of people. But being a good person did not save you from the flood. Being on the ark saved you from the flood. Okay? If you got on the ark and then you looked over and you said, I wonder how life is in the water, and you jumped off the ark and jumped into the water, you're not saved.
Right.
You understand?
Amen.
So I don't want to hear, you know, once I got in the ark, I'm automatically saved. If you dumb enough to jump off the ark back into the water, you're not saved. You understand? And that's what some people do. Now, we laugh, but people accept Christ. Right. They accept Christ, they get on the ark, go over to the edge, look out and go, wow, the water looks really beautiful. I think I'll go for a swim.
Yep.
And nobody's like, hey, look, man, by the way, you know, sharks and stuff that was in oceans around the world, they're also in those waters.
Right.
So jumping off the boat for a swim might not be as pleasurable as you think.
Amen.
Because what's in the water is there could kill you. Okay, you might not make it back in the boat.
Right.
It's basically what I'm telling somebody who walks away from Christ.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
You might not make it back in the boat.
That's right.
You got some people praying for you, good. But let me tell you something, jumping off is no guarantee that you're going to make it back in the boat. Okay? So understand the mentality of what's going on in the world and what's going on now. Because remember, there's only 2 generations of the righteous, and God has prophesied them both, because Jesus came and said it will be as it was in the days of Noah. So we have to be very careful. Here we go. Are we in verse 8? Okay, chapter 8. It says, but remember, it said, but God remembered Noah, because the floods lasted for 40 days. And it said, but God remembered Noah, and all the wild animals and livestock were with him in the ark. And he sent a wind over the earth, and the water receded. Now the springs of deep and the floodgates of the heaven had closed, and the rain had stopped falling from the sky. The water receded. And it says, the waters receded steadily from the earth at the end of 150 days. The water had gone down on the 17th day of the seventh month. The ark came to a rest on Mount Ararat. Okay? Look up Ararat in Hebrew, and we as Hebrew students all know, what does Ararat mean? Reverse the curse. But God made sure that you knew exactly what day that ark landed on dry ground. Why? Because the seventh month, on the 17th day, remember in Exodus, God switched the months around? The seventh month used to be the first month now, Nisan, used to be the seventh month. So the seventh month at that time was Nisan, okay? It didn't used to be the first of the year, okay? September, Tishri, used to be the first of the year, but God switched it around and made Nisan, this what used to be the seventh month, he made it the first month, okay? So understand this. This seventh month is Nisan 17th. It's the same day that Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave. So this is the day that God really reversed the curse. So God is trying to tell you, I'm not talking about Noah. I'm talking about a further day off that someone is going to resurrect from the ground on the 17th day, and he's going to reverse the curse for all mankind. Amen. But Lamech said in prophecy, I'm bringing forth my son, and I'm going to name him Comfort or Rest, Noah, because he's going to reverse the curse. No, he's a prophecy of the true one, the greater Noah, that's going to come and reverse the curse. Amen. And that's what Jesus did. He came and he reversed the curse on the 17th of Nisan. Amen. Okay? Amen. The second day, the 17th month. So now, here we are. The flood is over. Has the curse been reversed? It hasn't. But it is a sign of a future event, right? Amen. But we see that God is marking the day so that you know this is not about Noah. This is about him. Here we go. Let's go to oh, my goodness. Okay. It says here, the days of Noah were the righteous, they were 120. And it says the second Noah would be called the righteous one, which is Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. Now, Noah went up. He's representing who? Jesus. This is a movie. You understand? He's only playing a role. He doesn't reverse the curse. Jesus does. Yeah. So Noah goes up with his seven children, his wife and children, and it's seven of them plus Noah. That means Jesus plus the seven churches that are in the book of Revelation. All someday are going above the earth.
Yes.
As judgment falls to the earth.
Amen.
And it's going to happen in the 120th year because Jesus says it will be as it was in the days of Noah. So this event is going to happen again. And we're preaching this gospel to the world to try to tell them that our Father told us that judgment is coming in the 120th. Get on the ark. Who's the ark? Jesus. Who's the door of the ark? Jesus. Every minute detail of scripture is about who? Jesus. The door is the ark. Jesus is the ark. The safety is the ark. You need to get up on the ark so that you can be saved. And that's what we're preaching. We're just doing the same thing that Noah did.
Amen.
Okay. Let's go to chapter 8, verse, let's see. No, let's go to chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 1. Here we go. Because remember, this whole thing is going to happen again. And it's going to happen the same way, okay? Now, watch this. Can't wait to get to it. In chapter 9, verse 1 through 7, this is what it says. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful, increase in number, because the flood's over, right? They've come up. It's time for them to come off the boat. So God's like, these are my instructions. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful, increase in number, and fill the earth. The fear and dread of you will fall upon all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air, upon every creature that moves along the ground, and upon the fish of the sea. They are all given into your hands. Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you green plants, now I give you everything.
Wow.
So now God is saying, now it's okay to eat flesh.
Wow.
Before this, he had not given them everything. You understand? So all of this is now come upon the earth, and God is giving them instructions on how to live. In verse 4, it says, but you must not eat meat that has its blood still in it. Okay? In verse 6, it says, whosoever sheds the blood of a man, by a man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God, God has created man. So he's giving them instruction. And then it says in verse 7, as for you, be fruitful, increase in number, multiply on the earth, and increase upon it. Okay, so those are the instructions from God. This is after the flood. Okay, but what is God telling you? Now I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. Okay, because after the seven get taken up, you've got to know that this is not the end. God wants to show you the whole movie.
Yes.
So now let's go to chapter 10, verse 8. And then I'll tell you what God showed me in my dream. Chapter 10, verse 8. It says, Cush was the father of Nimrod, who grew to be a mighty warrior on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. That is why it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. The first center of his kingdom were Babylon, Erech, Akkad, Cana, and Shinar. So Nimrod comes forth and he becomes what? The first world dictator. And Babylon is where they start teaching people what? Blood sacrifices and nobody and be all of us together in one place. No one is to move out into the rest of the earth. I am ruling over all of you.
Wow.
So Nimrod becomes the Antichrist, or becomes the world dictator in the world. Now, as I'm sleeping and God is showing me this, God says, because I heard a Jewish guy telling people, well, we're all just going to get resurrected at the end. I know some Christians talk about there's going to be a rapture, but we're all just at the end going to get resurrected. Mm-hmm. Now, I know you're wearing the beard and all that. He's not really Jewish, but he's wearing the beard. But I can tell you haven't studied, because that's not how the story goes in Genesis.
Mm-mm.
And so in Genesis, God at night in my sleep says, look, there was no Nimrod until after the flood. Until the seven, there's no Antichrist. Nimrod doesn't even appear until the Noah and the seven go up. Nimrod doesn't appear until after Noah and the seven go far above the sky. Okay? Nimrod doesn't even appear when all of the commotion is going on in the earth. He doesn't appear until everything calms down. Then he comes forth and presents himself and says to the whole world, I'm going to be your leader.
Wow.
I am your commander. You will sacrifice animals. You will have blood sacrifices. There will be. Now, he began teaching a lot of, because if you go back to Nimrod and Sumerian and the sun, Tumas, you'll see all of this paganism began with Nimrod in Babylon. Okay? So Nimrod is teaching them not to obey God. A matter of fact, the word Nimrod in Hebrew means rebellion. The very name Nimrod means rebellion. So he's teaching not just himself, he's teaching the whole world, and he's keeping them all in one spot. God said, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Nimrod said, no, you're not. You're going to obey me. So we got an Antichrist, but remember, the Antichrist doesn't come until after Noah and the seven go above the earth.
Right.
Nimrod doesn't come until after the commotion calms down. So God is already telling us the story.
Wow.
Now go over to chapter 11. It says, now the whole earth had one language and one common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar. That's where Nimrod was. And they settled there. Okay, this is all men. It says, they said to each other, come, let us make bricks and bake them through. They used bricks instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the earth. Now all the people are saying this, but God already told them what? Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. So now all the people are obeying who?
Nimrod.
The Antichrist. They said, let us build the city and let us make sure we protect each other so that we don't get scattered over the earth. But God told you to be scattered over the earth. What are you doing? But they're obeying Nimrod. Now it says, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. And the Lord said, if as one people speaking to the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan will be impossible for them. Come, let us, who is us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other. The number for confusion is 11. They go down and it says, so the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because they stopped building because of confusion. And it says, because there the Lord had confused their language of the whole world. For, from there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. So it was God who had to come down and stop the Antichrist move to make all the people obey Nimrod and be disobedient. So here you have the first generation of the righteous, and is giving you our full story so that you don't get thrown off and start thinking that the Antichrist is going to come before the boat goes up. It don't. That's not the plan. That the author didn't write it that way.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
The author wrote it that the flood happens and the boat and the ark goes up with Jesus and the seven first. And a matter of fact, there's 40 days of flood and 150 days of confusion before you even see Nimrod.
Amen.
So that means the tribulation doesn't happen as soon as the rapture happens. Mm. The tribulation doesn't happen until the Antichrist comes forth and signs the covenant. That's when it starts. Okay? So think about that, but you have to understand God has already given us the whole story.
Amen.
So now, where does this put us? You only have two generations of the righteous in the Bible. The second generation, and Pastor Mark, I think Corral, I don't know his last name, he does a whole series on the Hebrew, on the Book of Psalm, and every Jewish event that was taking place from 1901 all the way up to 2019, which is 119 years. So we're on the 119th year of that. Now, it just so happens to be that Psalms 120 is the Psalm of Ascent, and the next seven verse chapters read like the tribulation from the beginning to the middle to the end, exactly the way it's written in the book of Revelation.
Seven chapters.
Seven, the next seven chapters read just like Revelation, the book of Revelation. So, but understand this, there's no Psalm of Ascent until the 120th.
Right.
Okay, so that means God, who wrote the book, authored it and said, let me count this all the way up to 120. The 119th will make that every Hebrew letter. This is Jesus. A new beginning is about to happen. It all has 8 verses letting them know this new beginning is about to happen. Then Psalms 20, it says the Psalm of Ascent. And then now they begin to cry out to God as if his tribulation is happening. And so we're in this. Now, let's look at this, because I want you guys to know this. Let's go to, first of all, Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 through 14. Listen. The church is under attack. Humankind is under attack. You understand? I know you don't believe me. I know that you think that people who talk like me are crazy. But everybody that you admire aren't really human.
Amen.
Everybody that you give praise to and think that God sent them aren't really human. Some of them are Nephilim. They have the DNA and they look like you, but they aren't you. How do I know this? Because there's a restaurant in California called what? What's that?
Oh, yeah.
There's a restaurant called the, what was it? The cat, it's a, where you eat human flesh. And they have a list of their
celebrities,
distinguished guests.
Yeah, it's in L.A.
It's in L.A., okay? I'll give you the name of the restaurant. You can call and put your name on the list, but you have to go through a process.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. But see, you guys got to understand something, because I don't mind that you think I'm crazy, because God told me to preach this, and it's not my job to convince you.
Right.
It's my job to tell you.
There you go.
So my job to tell you is this. Everybody who is here on this earth right now is not completely human.
Amen.
Okay? Because humans don't do the things that Nephilim do.
Amen.
But Nephilim survive off of the things they do, so they won't stop.
Right.
And now you got a president that's trying to stop it. So, of course, if they own 96% of the media, your president is a horrible person, because he's closing down our grocery stores.
Right.
Because you know you got to eat.
Right.
Now have somebody become president and say, we're closing down all grocery stores. You got to get your own food.
Mm.
You'll start complaining.
Yep.
And if you're on TV, you say he's the worst president in the world. How are you going to close down? But he's closing down their source of life, which is blood and humans.
Yep.
God said, just stop for a minute. Because you need to let that sink in. There are people here that aren't human, that are living off of humans, and it's done undercover, but it's being done. Was this happening during the time of Noah? Yes, there were Nephilim on the earth. They lived off human beings. They drank blood. We seem to have the same thing going on here, okay? But we got a bigger problem. The people that used to love Jesus are living crazy lives. Okay? And they're living according to their own righteousness. They're saying what? You know, I'm good enough for God. I believe in God. Or I believe, okay, your religion's good, but mine's good too. And let you be you, let me be me. And we all just belong to God, the big guy in the sky. But they don't have a relationship with God or know God, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're living in a world that the only people that are even worth anything to God are the ones that are already on the ark, and that are those that are truly in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, there are some people that aren't on the ark, but they believe in the ark.
Right.
They believe the ark exists.
Yep. It is.
There it is. You believe in the ark? Yes. Are you ever going to get on? No. Well, I've been on, but I came right back off. It felt uncomfortable. You have to understand, we're in the same situation, okay?
10 minutes, Pastor.
What do you mean, 15, Pastor?
Okay, 15.
Okay, now, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says, verse 7. And I am. It says,
For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. That's the Holy Spirit. He's holding it back. And it says, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles and signs and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. So people are being deceived, okay? They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. So you preach to them the ark, but they say, we don't believe in the ark.
Right.
Or they say, we believe it's there, but we ain't getting on it. But our belief that it's there still makes us saved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it says, for this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. Now, let me stop, because this is what the Lord said. Kanye is not a curse from them. Kanye is me allowing them to give them what they really want.
See?
Because you want to club and go to church, God gave you somebody you can club and go to church with.
Club and the church.
Okay? Because he's going to send you a delusion.
Yep.
He's going to send you somebody to be the people you really want to be.
Yeah.
And the people you really want to be is kind of in the church, but not in the church. Kind of believing everything that you see and not studying for yourself. But now, okay, now you want to believe in what you want to believe. You really just don't want God. You really want the church. You want to be saved, because I was like this too. I want to be saved, but I don't want to follow all the rules.
Right.
Right? Like, why we can't be, this is what we, you know, because this is what they ask you. Can somebody be saved and still have a drink? Why am I asking you that? I could ask the Holy Spirit that, he'll tell me.
Yeah.
I'm asking you that because I want to drink and I want to be saved. Should Christians go to nightclubs? Why are you asking me? Ask the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You're saying it because you want to go to a nightclub and be saved.
Yep.
So all the stuff you're saying really just shows me that you're trying to live a compromised life, and you're looking for something or some way to be able to do it. Well, you've been sent someone that's going to allow you to experience both at the same time. But when the boat comes, remember, it's nowhere near that church.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
Okay, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. God told me this is going to be simple.
That's pretty simple.
2 Timothy chapter 4. Here's a message to the generation of the righteous. God is talking to us right now, okay, in chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instructions. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers. Not, he said, not one teacher, a great number of teachers. What is the Southern Baptist Convention? A great number of teachers. How many churches? Thousands. They got almost 2,000 churches in the United States. A great number of teachers to tell you what you want to hear. Okay? Because to come into Christ and to live for Christ, that's too much for you. You're looking for something that will appease your lifestyle. And God says, I'm going to send you teachers. They're going to be all around to appease your itching ears so you can hear what you want to hear and do what you want to do, because you don't want to hear Noah and his seven kids. So let me just give you what you want.
Right.
Because I'm here for Noah and the seven.
Right.
You understand? I'm here for Jesus and the church. Okay?
Man.
Let's continue. It says, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, they will suit their own desires, and they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. So I'm turning away from truth. See, when I was a kid, they had stuff called the Holiness Church, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you went to the movie theater, they was like, you need to repent.
Yep. Yes, sir.
I had to convince mama, I didn't go to the movie theater because I know ain't nothing but sinners there. We couldn't go to movie theaters.
Nope.
Secular music.
Nope.
I mean, they believed it. Then they took it too far. Girls couldn't wear a pair of jeans. They was doing too much, right?
Right.
Couldn't wear shorts. But listen, let me tell you, I have nothing good to say about Islam or the Quran, but let me tell you something. When you were in the mosque, you couldn't see nothing them women had on. They were fully covered. And I thought, being as dumb as I could at 19 years old, this is what holiness is.
Mm.
But holiness is not that. Holiness is the heart. Holiness is the obedience to God. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So understand, God is looking for a people that are righteous, not in appearance. I want you righteous in your heart.
Yeah.
So what are we looking at today? We're looking at the same thing as the days of Noah. You're on 119th year of 120th count, and you have Nephilim in the world, and you have men sinning like crazy, and you have Christians, you're gonna call them Christians. You got false Christians trying to tell good Christians to be like us. Once you got saved, you already saved, and you can sin as much as you want once you get saved. We got those people trying to confuse real Christians that sin is okay because with sin you can still get on the ark. No, you can't. The ark is for the generation of the righteous. It is not for the you can't go sin and get on the ark and then get off the ark, go back and sin, and then get back on the ark. That is not the structure, understand?
Amen.
But we do know this one thing. Jesus will come.
Yes.
The flood will happen.
Yes.
The boat will rise above the earth.
Yes.
It will take Jesus and the seven with him.
Yes.
And the warning is to this world that we're living in, that we've been preaching to and telling them, the only thing that can save you is the ark. And the only way to get in the ark is the door.
Yeah.
And one of these days, the flood's going to come and the ark's going to be lifted above the earth and judgment is going to come. And if you don't hear us, we can't help you once it starts raining.
Amen.
We're trying to tell people the truth. Now, they have no idea how bad it is, people on earth, because we're blind to everything. Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say one more thing about Kanye, but the Lord, I was like, I don't want to talk about it. And the Lord's like, no, you need to tell him this. This guy is a member and a follower of the Church of Satan.
Ooh.
All of his videos are somehow praising Lucifer or have occultic structure throughout every video that he makes. And I'm not going to mention any names of the ones, because I tried to watch a couple last night and the Lord said, that's enough. You can't even watch it. There's so much Satanism inside of this guy's videos. You understand? He wrote Jehovah for Jay-Z. He wrote that blasphemous song so Jay-Z could have them raising their hand, calling him Jehovah. Who wrote that song? Kanye. So Kanye's teaching Jay-Z how to be more satanic. Jay-Z can't come up with a song to follow up, so he says, I'm going to write a new song for you called Lucifer and put it on your album and make it the ninth song, right? Or how do you do that? He put that way, when you flipped it upside down, it was just like the ninth song, and then it's 99 reasons. 99 reasons becomes the sixth, the ninth song on the album. And then Lucifer comes right after that. So when you turn it upside down, you got the ninth song with a song called 99 Reasons, but upside down is 666. Underneath, you got Lucifer right there on the album. And Kanye did this for him. Jay-Z didn't do this. Kanye did this for him. Okay? But like God says, I'm going to send a delusion upon them because they want what they want. And here's the delusion. You have what you want. You have teachers. He's going to be at Joel Osteen this coming week. So now you got another one of the teachers that is going to allow. I'm giving you what you want. But when the rapture happens, don't you dare say, why didn't I go? Because people who were actually a part of Noah's family, a part of the church, warned you to be careful. This isn't real. This is a deception. Praise God. Amen. That's it.
Don't pray for you people.
I think Drea prayed for him in the beginning, before. So, okay. All right. Father God, we just pray for our family here, Father God, in Jesus' name. We thank you for the mothers, Father God, who are helping with the people over the phone, Father God. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name, for everyone that is around the world, Father God, that is following our ministry. We thank you, Father God, for their support. We thank you, Father God, for their love and for their prayers. We thank you, Father God, that they have an ear to hear truth, Father God, in Jesus' name. And we just praise you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.